Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Dear Lord, thank you for this place, this house where we can gather. Thank you for the people around us, the fellowship we have. And God, I just ask that today you help us have a new experience in our worship. That every negative emotion is just gone. And it's replaced with your peace and with your joy. And that today, everybody's receptive of the word that you've prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you want to stand, we're going to go into some worship. So, I don't know if everybody knows, but it's Pentecost Sunday today, which is a pretty awesome thing for us because this is the day we celebrate receiving the Holy Spirit, which is a mighty gift in our lives. And I just want to read a couple of scriptures real quick before we go in, but Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." There's also Ezekiel 36:26 that it says, "I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you." The word of God is such a mighty and powerful tool, but a lot of what reveals the word to us is the Holy Spirit. It's like having him to walk with on a regular basis. It gives us freedom. It gives us strength. It gives us revelation. So today is really an exciting thing that we celebrate. Pentecost Sunday, the day we were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we're just going to celebrate that.
Can you hear me? I have been prompted this morning to give God all the glory and praise and honor. And this is a little bit of a testimony that is much longer. So if you don't mind, I would like to tell you a little bit of a prayer request that's been answered after many, 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 many years. So if you're praying for someone and they look pretty hopeless to you, don't ever give up. My sister and I took a little trip to Minnesota recently. If anyone was wondering, where's Linda? If you weren't, that's okay too. So my sister and I went. We had a plan to go to Minnesota to visit our dad, who was turning 96, May 21st. So we went, and we helped him celebrate his 96th birthday, which was just such a blessing. And he really enjoyed our having us there, it seemed. It turned out that we celebrated his birthday and went to his funeral as well. But he was 96, and to shorten the story up, he received the Lord just before he passed. So I just needed to share that with you and give God all the glory. Thank you.
Can I just share with you guys this morning? There's a line in this song that we repeated a few times. It's, "And here's where the dead things come back to living. I feel my heart beating again." I could really feel in this song while we were singing that part. I don't know if this is for somebody who's here, but I do know that it's something God wants me to speak. You know, even people that have been saved years and years and years of their lives can fall into these ruts, right? Of even I grew up, let me tell you, I grew up in church since I was born. And I know that I was used to like, okay, we're going to church Sunday morning. We have youth group Sunday evening. We have church on Wednesday. We have, and I knew that this is the way things went. So I always even like had my homework set to take with me to church for Wednesday because I knew we couldn't miss it. And I had to have homework done too. And I had to do all this stuff. But that's the thing is sometimes we really get stuck in this routine of religion. This is the way we do things. This is the way it goes. We start service and we have opening and then we have announcements and then we have this and then we have, and can I tell you that it can be very easy to fall into kind of just a mundane, like this is the way things go sometimes. And this song, one of the reasons I know this week God was really speaking to me about this song was that his desire is to commune with us on a regular basis. Not just Sundays, not just Wednesdays, not just when we have Bible study, and not just when we have youth or church or we're in church. The gift that we got in the Holy Spirit is that he's within us all the time. That we can, just like Adam and Eve walked with him in the garden, we're walking with him regularly every day because of the gift that God placed within us. And the thing that we got to realize is that gift is really powerful because just like this song says, it can bring to life so many things in your life. So many things. If you feel like you've gotten stuck in the rut of like, I'm showing up to church and I'm coming, but I feel tired. I feel complacent. I feel all of those things. Can I just challenge you this week to not just do church, but be about the communion, be about the time with God, the one-on-one, the speaking, the moving, the going after him on a regular basis. Because I guarantee you that if you just begin to allow him to work in your life every single day and every moment, you'll begin to see something in your life that's so powerful. It's the kingdom of God. Because now instead of just walking your normal day to day, you've come to life in a way that you won't even be able to explain besides that you will shine so bright that people will just begin to see it around you. It's the desire of where God, it's really where he wants us to be. It's really where we got to realize we got to get to is we're not just coming to church anymore. We're allowing God to work in our day to day so that we can see the promises and the miracles and all the things that he has for us happening in our life. Not just something we talk about, but something we be about. Something we do because of who he is within you. It's what takes people from feeling like they are so lost as to what God's doing for them. God, I don't know. There's times where, you know what? People who don't even know God will constantly have this feeling of a void that's missing. And can I tell you that what we have in this gift that we have with him is the ability for him to say, even in our craziest moments, to give us peace. Even when we feel so burdened, to lighten the load. This morning, I knew Pentecost Sunday was coming up. It was this morning when I was going through some reading that I was like, holy smokes, Pentecost Sunday is today. And I was just so appreciative of what God did for me during the week. Because when I started looking at the songs, they were all about the Holy Spirit. It was freedom in the Holy Spirit. It was, I'm never going to stop worshiping you or praising you, regardless of what happens, because of what you've given me. It was, I want to breathe you all the time because it's what's important to me. It was, I want communion with you. And those little things are testimonies in our life as to what he has for us. Because even when we're not paying attention, he's always preparing us for what's ahead. He's always giving us what's before us. He's always placing things in our lives perfectly so that what's coming in front of us, we're prepared for. And it just happens through going after him. So this week, I just want to challenge you. If you feel stuck, if you felt I've been in a rough place, if you feel, man, if you feel like my marriage has been rough, or my relationships have been rough, or I'm having a hard time with my children, whatever those things might be, I just want to encourage you and challenge you, go after him. Don't even worry about fixing the problem in front of you. Just go after him. God, I just want to spend time with you. I'm going to spend time in your presence. I'm going to read. I'm going to take it all in. And I'm just going to know that what you have for me and what you want for me is what you're going to give me. And I guarantee you, he will. He'll give you stuff for your week. He'll give you stuff for your day. He'll give you stuff. Gosh, he'll give you stuff for your mornings. When you go after him, you'll notice that there's so much of a change. It really is something that you will see in your life. You'll just see and feel the change in it because of what he does when you allow him to be what guides you. Hallelujah. Pastor John, you want to come up?
How many of you know that when you come on Sunday mornings, service, right? We have the word, we have fellowship, and we have worship. And I want you to know that the most important part of this, it's all important, don't take me wrong, but it's the worship part. That's a time where we bring something to the throne room. We can hear the word, we can fellowship with those that are of the same mind, but it's this time of worship that really brings us into that throne room, brings us to that place that that we can just love on God and let him love on us. Could you do a little more of that last song? Let's just do a little bit more worship. Thank you, worship team. Bless you guys. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team. Now, raise your hand if you love Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Where's 100%? I need 100%. I was hoping for 100%. How do you know he loves you?
Died on the cross.
Good way. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so, right? We have his word. We have his word that tells us how much he loves us. And we also have the contents of this entire Bible that will tell us so. But many of us know his love through the experiences that we've had in our life's journey. Throughout our lives, we have had the Holy Spirit. He has calmed our storms. He has healed our bodies, provided when we lacked, and gave us peace and comfort when we needed it. And he's here today. That's what I really sense, that as we were worshiping this day, you know, we don't want to come to church if God's sitting outside the door. I don't want to be here. He's here because you brought him. Every one of you walks around with God inside you. Wow. Holy Spirit is within each one of us. That's something that back in the Old Testament didn't happen, right? But we have that privilege of walking and carrying God within us every moment of our day. So you can remain seated, but let's pray. Father God, we welcome you in this place. We welcome your presence, Lord, and the praise and worship that comes forth from our mouths, Lord. Let it be that it's truly from our heart. That we're not just pretending, Lord, and doing Sunday church every day, Lord, May our hearts touch your heart, Lord. Lord, I thank you for every person that is here this day, Lord. They're here because you stirred their hearts. They needed to be here today, Lord. You wanted them here today, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you never leave us, Lord, that you always take us forward. We thank you in Jesus' name. When I started praying about what to share with the body today, I knew it had to do with the love of God. And as you notice, the title of my sermon is Genuine Love. And I tell you what, as I started looking, is what I want to talk about God's love for us and just the capacity, the extent of his love. And I'll tell you what, it's very hard to find a definition for his love. A lot of the times the way we see love, it's more like, you've heard the term, we speak a lot of Christianese, right? We say the right words, you know, Jesus loves you. We take it like if it was just, yeah, good morning, how you doing, you know? And to really get to that place that when we speak of God's love, that it's really, that we really have an understanding of what it's about. God's love a lot of times gets misinterpreted, you know? The way that we view love is not sometimes a way that God is really wanting us to. And as, like I said, with this name, genuine love, what comes with it? You know, it's pure, it's true, it's not artificial, it's not counterfeit. And those are just some of the words that we understand. I don't think we'll ever know the fullness of what God's love is for each one of us today. We see where Jesus sacrificed his life on a cross, a great sign, the ultimate show of love, right? Yeah. Anyone that would give his life for you. And so I hope that today's message just kind of touches a little bit of a more reality, a fullness of what God's love is for us this day. The world we live in today was created out of love. For 5 days, all that God had created was for the need and the pleasure of man. And only after all had been prepared and ready, on the sixth day, God created man. And so think about it. Everything prior to the creation of man, God, think of it like a proud daddy, right? You know, sometimes I've used this before. I mean, future babies coming into the home and you want to make sure that the crib is just right and the wallpapers are just right. You're expecting a baby. Everything has got to be so perfect. And you can imagine our God doing the same thing. Everything that he had done for 5 days was, this is going to be good for my kids. And that starts with Adam and Eve, but it's for us today too, right? Yeah. Everything that he creates is with a heart of love for those that he created, for the man that he creates. And the word says that God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And here's a sideline. As he created each one of you, he also says that. He also says that creating you, he sees you, and it is very good. And I think we all would agree that God can't lie, and God doesn't make mistakes. So when you look at yourself in that mirror, just think, you know what? I'm pretty cool. I'm beautiful. Why? Because God says so. Who's going to argue against God, right? I don't want to. He tells me I'm cute. I'm cute, you know. But all that to say is that if we could see ourselves like God sees us, what a wonderful place this would be. If we could see our brothers and sisters at God's season, what a wonderful world we'd live in, right? So I hope you do take time to see yourself as God would. So I want to go to the first scripture is Genesis 2, starting with verse 8. And I could read this without glasses, but I look a lot cooler with them. So, and I'll just read, it's going to be 8 through 17. And now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Fishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden, to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat, you will certainly die." So, just a small description. I mean, there's a lot more areas in the Bible that you'll find references to what that garden might have looked like. But they had everything was perfectly created. It said they had beautiful trees, streams, beautiful aromas. And best of all, God was there. So imagine a day in the life of Adam and Eve. First days when they were there, imagine them waking up in the morning, and as soon as they open their eyes, they look up at each other and go, "Ah, what a beautiful day. What are we doing today, Adam?" "Well, I always love meeting God in the morning. We do this always, and that just fills me when I can spend time with God. He's always there in the garden, walking in the cool of the day. So that's first on my agenda. I want to meet with God. I want to just talk with him, commune with him." And then Eve says, "What are you going to do after that?" "No," Adam says, "I was thinking of going down to the stream. I love to just listen to the flow of the water and watch the waters that flows and the aromas that are in the air, and just kind of hang out there for a while." And then he tells Eve, "Well, what are you going to do after that?" "Well, Adam, I've been meaning to go to kind of like in the center of the garden. There's some beautiful trees there with some beautiful fruits, and I just want to kind of go down there and maybe pick some fruit." That should have been the "Don't go, Eve." I guess the point I'm trying to make is that what a life. What a beautiful life that these two people had when they were created. Everything. You look around today and we can find fault with a lot of the things around us, you know, pollutions or whatever you want to call it. But for that time, there was no faults in that creation. Everything was perfect. We sang songs this morning about God's breath. Just think, Adam had the breath of God's in him. He had his life in him. Everything around him was beautiful. Everything that he ate, he touched, everything was beautiful. And so I say, what a life. A lot, much like all you retired people. You guys get up in the morning and I think I'll go work on the garden a little bit or I think I'll take a drive. One day I'll retire, I guess, but in the meantime, this is fun. But Adam and Eve blew it. So why didn't God just start all over? He created two people and, you know, that was, for God, it isn't anything that he couldn't do. But why didn't he just say, I'm going to start all over? These guys blew it. And the reason was because he doesn't make mistakes. We make mistakes. And he loved them enough to forgive them and restore their relationship. But they also had to face the consequences of their error. And of course, we know that one day God would send his son to correct that error. And I think you all know that Jesus was not plan B for God. Jesus was not plan B. That was already in the works when he created our world. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read from the Gospel of John. And I like this one, not only because the guy, the writer has a cool name. right, Steve? Where's Steve? but he was an eyewitness of Jesus' ministry, always with him from the beginning through his resurrection and even to the writing of Revelation. So I'm going to start with John 21:7. And 21:7 says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say that, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. Now we're going to go to John 21:20. And it says, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. Now we can stop there. Now let's go to John 19:25. And it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So I wanted to read that because I hope you see the pattern here. None of the other gospels describe John in this way. It's John that speaks of himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. So this was John's personal identity with Jesus. Now, did Jesus love the other disciples? Obviously, he died for them, right? But it wasn't about how much John loved Jesus, though he proved it in so many ways. It was that he knew how much Jesus loved him. And each one of us should place our name as a disciple that Jesus loves. Could you put your name in there and say, I, Aaron, the disciple that Jesus loves. I, Deborah, the disciple that Jesus loves. I, Virginia, the disciple that Jesus loves. We can all put our names in there and understand that that love that, that comes from God. Put your name in there. When you can get to that point like John did, as I said, he proved it so many ways. He was, it shows he was the only disciple that was at that cross. All the other ones that were in hiding somewhere didn't mean they didn't love Jesus, but they weren't at that place that that John was. And you see a lot of the scriptures that say, where he says, this is the disciple that was leaning on Jesus during the supper. He was always close to Jesus, always there, up until the crucifixion, physically he was there. And so this is the place that we need to be, is that to grasp the fullness of what's available to each one of us, the fullness of that love that comes from Jesus, that we have the understanding because we do have the Holy Spirit within us that can reveal that love to each one of us. And of course, we can say, well, God sent his son, right? What a show of love that would indicate. So somewhere along your journey, I hope you're there already, but if for some reason there's a place that needs to be filled, be accepted so that you can feel and know that love, just get with God. So what does this all mean? It means that when you fill yourself with a love that can only come from God, you will not be able to contain the floodgates of your heart to overflow to those around you. You know, we can't love people if we don't have love to give. And the word says that God is love, right? So if we have not filled ourselves with God, how can we give it? And that's what I said earlier. Sometimes we kind of have a different interpretation of love. Sometimes we look at love as, I'm in love. No, sometimes you're just in lust, you know. That's an easy way of putting it, you know. We do look at things that way. You know, it's just our interpretation isn't the God love that we need to recognize. So what does it mean? You will know that every moment of your day, you can have his favor, his mercy, his grace, and his unconditional love. You know that even if a trial comes your way, he will be with you and for you. So when you start your day, be thankful for a great day and not put your focus on all that could go wrong and will go wrong. When you open your eyes today, what was first on your thoughts? You know, just think back to this morning. Do you, you know, open your eyes? You might be laying in bed. Is it kind of like Adam and Eve were in the garden? Ah, thank you, Lord. What a beautiful day. Look how wonderful. What a good sleep I had. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, I am healthy, that I am, you know, whatever it is that goes to your mind. Or are the first thoughts in your head is thinking of all the things that went wrong the day before or the week before, and how are you going to handle that? Is that what occupies your thoughts? Is that what occupies your mind? Because when you place all your attentions on the negativities of each day, I hate to tell you, that's probably what you're going to see throughout the day. But if you can focus on, like I said, God loves you and he's for you. So all those things that are good are at your fingertips. All those things, you don't have to ask for it. They've already been supplied to you. They're there. We just don't see them sometimes. They're there for you to grab. You want healing for your body? Word says, we've already been healed. You want forgiveness for things that maybe bug you? Word says, you've already been forgiven. You want to be able to reach out to someone and give love? It's already there if you just recognize it. If you're feeling like there's more to your day than what it is, that you want to do more for God and maybe have a ministry, whatever it is, go to Him. Say, where do I belong, Lord? Where can I move? Who do I go to? And I hope you realize that it doesn't always have to be in front of a church. Find that person that just needs your attention. You might be the only one that they want to hear. They may not accept from a pastor, but they can accept from a friend. If you can open your heart to love those people around you, it doesn't have to be where you go and, like I said, start speaking Christianese to them, you know? God loves you and He wants a better life for you and all. You know, talk like you normally talk. Share who you are because that's who God created you, right? So what's wrong with just saying, you know what? It'll be okay. I'll be with you. I'll walk with you because God walks with you. So just know that when you approach someone, wherever it is, whatever God wants to do with you, that it's not you. It's that Jesus within you. It's that Holy Spirit within you that's going to speak, then that's going to touch people. Let's go to 1 John 4:7. And I just want to say that when I hear little voices like that, it just lifts my heart. It's a happy little girl over there. Yes, you're happy. The Word says for all of us to come to Him as a child. That's how we should behave. Okay. So it says, 1 John 4:7-18. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. And this is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has sent for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives up fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Pretty good stuff, huh? Powerful scripture, powerful command. Love one another. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Yeah, let's love each other. But it's not as easy as it seems. But yet, when God gives us a command, He gives us a strength to do what He asks. His Holy Spirit gives us the power to love, and we do it because we want to, not because we have to. So, do you hate someone? Do you have unforgiveness towards someone? And when you speak about a particular person, is it always negative and with disapproval? The Word says that God so loved the world. Every person in this world was created in His image. Not just Christians. And I think you would agree, some people are hard to like. You like everybody? I hate to admit it, but yeah, I don't. And there may be people you don't even know. TV personalities, politicians, maybe that family member. There are people out there that are just not where you are. So God tells us we're supposed to love them, right? And so before we show our disapproval, could we ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Every time we think about that person, how would Jesus be with that person? How would He speak of that person? What would He do? And you think about it, Jesus met people just where they were and loved them just as they were. He was always at odds with the religious leaders. But did He hate them? He loved them and wanted that they would hear the truth. I believe He prayed for them. Could we do that for those that disagree with us? Rather than to speak condemnation, could we pray for these people, even if we don't like what they stand for, what they do, how they handle things? Our place in the lives of some of those people that are just out there somewhere, we wind up getting into more discussions. We're not going to change them, but God can. God can change those people that are in that place that they're just repulsing to us. Differences of opinion can cause turmoil and confrontations. Relationships can be destroyed over things that really don't matter. Our place is to align ourselves with the Word of God so that we can stand on the things that do matter. This is what matters. And everybody out there, whatever their opinions are, if it's not in agreement with what's in this book, hate to tell them, they're wrong. If it's here, this is truth. Amen. Amen. And that's all we have. We have the truth in our hands, in our heart. And so rather than to come against all those people that all they do is frustrate us, get our hearts pumping, get us to a place that, you know, we're thinking of doing, I'll tell them off, whatever it is that goes through your mind. Most times when it's over, you didn't accomplish much except possibly lose that relationship because of your disagreement. We need to rid ourselves of the them and us mentality and embrace our unity in Christ. That's really what's important. Could you imagine if we could all say, you know, this is our standard. This is what we believe in. And if the whole world could be that way, of course, very far-fetched, right? But one day. And that's what, for us as Christians, maybe we can't change the world. Maybe there's some that can go out there and be voices other than in your own community. Maybe you can reach out in politics or whatever that may be. Just maybe there's a way that God wants to use you. And if that's the case, may the Lord bless you. But wouldn't it be nice that if we could all look and see what would Jesus do? Remember that little bracelets they used to sell? What would Jesus do? And before anything takes place in our day, we could think that way. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. There we go. Got to buy me a new Bible. I can't find 2 Corinthians in Ephesians. Just doesn't go there. Ay, ay, ay. You got to get that John going. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 1 through 5. It says, "By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold towards you when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." How we as Christians deal with someone must be different than the way of the world. We are held to a higher standard and should reflect that. Our differences and confrontations are with a child of God, whether we see it or not. We may not see that person as a child of God, and that person may not be doing the things that we would say he's going in the right track. But how do we know what tomorrow brings for that person? It's, you know, just like Linda brought up, last moment, her dad says yes to Jesus. It's never too late for anybody to give their lives to Jesus. Never too late. Last moment, or the only thing I can say is the sooner you do it, the more fun you're going to have. It really is that way. Amen. Amen. People think that Christians are a bunch of duds. We like to party. That's why we come here, right? And so, so to think of in those terms, you know, that person, you might think, well, they're not very godly. They're doing this, they're doing that, whatever. You don't know what the Lord has in store for that person as time comes by. So rather than to join the world and critique and beat on him, let's do it a little bit different. Through God's word and the leading of the Holy Spirit, the weapons we use are those of prayer, faith, hope, and love. And nothing can break down barriers like God's mighty weapons. And Paul tells us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So, as we think about what we're about to do or say, take time to evaluate if it's Christ-like. Sometimes we speak before we think. And I hope before we think with our heart. And that's really where our issues come in, is that immediate response that brings us satisfaction for that moment. And then later, sometimes we're going, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Or how am I going to make this right? Sometimes we speak before our God, before our heart tells us what to say. And that's really where we should be listening to. Evaluate. Think about it. The word says that we are to keep our thought, bring our thoughts captive. You know, we have that power to be able to bring our thoughts, all the things that we look at. Before there's an action, we think about it. You know, a lot of times you think about what you're going to say and how you're going to do it. And like I say, during that, be thinking, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Is this in your character? Am I being that reflection of who you are? I want to share one more love story. And most of us are very familiar with that. But we're going to go to Luke 15, 11 through 24. And this, it's always called the prodigal son or the lost son. But even as they put this out as the son part, it really is more about a loving father. And so I'm going to read from 11 through 24. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. And so he divided his property between him. Not long after that, a younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there squandered his wealth in wild living. Sounds like a good party, huh? We've done a little bit of that ourselves, haven't we? After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. And so when he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who had sent him to his fields to feed pigs, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, now, I want to stop there. How many of you agree that hunger can bring you to your senses? You know, that made the big difference for this guy. He started seeing himself a little hungry. So when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to the father. So, motivation, hungry. If he wouldn't have been hungry, if he would have still had money, might he have gone back? Doesn't say, does it? Certain things have to happen sometimes where we're not listening to God and we wind up in places that, kind of in the, where all the little piggies are. May not be physical piggies, but we can get pretty low sometimes. But if that's what God has to use, he will. But this is the other part I want to look at. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And I really want to touch on that part. It says when he was still far away. So how could the father see him if, say, the father was inside the house or out going about his regular routine? It says it shows that the father was looking for him. He was out there hoping that one day he would see his son. He said, well, he was far away. And so that meant the father had to be at a place that he could see and hope and pray. Maybe one day that son would come home. And it says that when he saw him, he was filled with compassion. Doesn't seem like he said, I'll show him, you know. I'll punish him a little bit. And we'll see what. I'll just wait until he comes and begs me or talks to me. No. He said he had compassion for him. And then he says he ran to his son. This is our Father God. He ran. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. This guy is dirty and smelly. Clothes probably torn, whatever it may be. But the father just wants to hug him, wants to love him. And then the son says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Now he's repentant, right? There's a repentance in his voice. It's no longer about being hungry. He sees that the word says that it's God's love that leads us to repentance. God loved him, and instead of him focusing on, I'll go to my dad and he's going to give me at least the food that the servants eat, now he's repentant. He sees, he came to a different place in his life because of the love that the Father extended to him. But the Father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This is a picture for any of us that have been away from him. Sometimes we get to a point that we don't think we're worthy to come back. Or there's someone in our lives that, you know, you've already ridden off. God hasn't ridden them off. He still has a place. He's still out there looking, praying, hoping. And when that person comes, he's going to love him and hug him no matter how dirty you are, no matter where you've been. And he's going to restore them and just celebrate. They're back. He's not going to ask no questions. They're back. That's all he cared about. I'm glad you guys know me. I'm a big crybaby. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to read 13, it's 4 through 7. And you've all heard this one before, but it's a beautiful scripture. And it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. but rejoices with the truth. And life, it doesn't say that, but love is happy. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. What we're going to do now is we're going to go into communion. That's the ending of my sermon. But now we want to go into communion. And the servers are going to come now and distribute the elements. Please hold on to them. Please hold on to them until we've all been served. And then I have one more scripture that I want to read before we take the communion. So just take some time to just kind of be with God while you're being served. And at the end of your communion, pass the elements, the little cups to each side, and there'll be someone to pick them up for you. And as Abe said earlier, also know that on other Sundays, this first Sunday of the month, we always have communion corporately. But all other Sundays, we always make it available in the back for you to do it with personally, by yourself, with your wife or husband, with your friend, your whole family. But we value communion in this church. It reminds us of what Jesus did on that cross. And so every Sunday will be available to you on that back table. Boy, this is nice, nice and quiet. And just after I told everybody that we like to party, I think we're pretty much there, huh? So what I wanted us for now is just to please stand with me. If you can. It's okay if you don't. You're good. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. All right, so what I'm going to read now is out of Ephesians 3:14. And it says, "For this reason," this is Paul speaking, "I kneel before the Father," but this is for us, "from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit and your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all his fullness of God. The greatest show of love was, the sacrifice that Jesus did on that cross. And as I said earlier also, when we take communion, it is to remember that. And I hope that even if you're not taking communion, that you do remember that. I hope that every day you see what a sacrifice was made so that we would have all that Jesus had in store for us, including the Holy Spirit within us. So these are symbols representing the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And so at that Last Supper is when Jesus took the bread and after giving thanks, he broke it and has said to his disciples to take the bread as this was his body. And this body was broken, abused, beat up. But it was done so that we could be whole, so that we would not be broken. In the same way, it says that he took the cup and said to his disciples that this was his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins until he returns. Please take the cup. And I've said this before, that blood that he shed is from the time they placed that crown of thorns on his head to the nails on his feet. He had no more to give. So pray with me. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for not what you've done this day, Lord, touching the hearts of those people, Lord, that you spoke to, Lord. But Lord, just as we look around our nation, Lord, and we see the things that are happening around us, Lord, that we would be held to a higher standard, Lord, that we would remember of what you did on that cross, and that we would be able to love those around us, Lord, like you did, Jesus. You loved them in a way that the world doesn't understand, Lord. Somehow, Lord, that we, as your disciples, would be able to understand that love and be able to just let it flow through your Holy Spirit to those around us, Lord. Let us be that example to the world, Lord. When the world falls apart, it is us, Lord, that have to show them that in you, Lord, there is no fear. In you, there is no nothing that we are to be concerned about in our future, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Praise you. And I thank all of you guys. God bless you guys. Lord be with you. Thank you. You may be dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.